It was believed that there are only 101 languages during the time of the Buddha. So you see there, dialect means skill in the 101 tongues, particularly in that of Magadha. But even in one country, there are more than 100 languages or 100 dialects. But it is the stock phrase used in the commentaries whenever they want to refer to languages, say 101 languages. It may be something like saying 1,001 things or an expression. Okay. And then how Buddhas and Pachika, undeclared Buddhas, mean Pachika Buddhas, reach discrimination through their prior effort and through achievement, only two. But disciples go through all these means mentioned earlier. That there is no way, no special way of developing a meditation subject in order to attain discriminations. But in trainers, the attaining of the discriminations come about next upon the liberation consisting in trainers' fruition. And in non-trainers mean arahants. It does so next upon the liberation consisting in non-trainers' fruition. Trainers means those who have reached the first, second, and third stages. They are called trainers. And those who have reached the fourth stage and become an arahant is called are called non-trainers. And how is it developed? Now, the things classed as aggregates, bases, elements, facilities, truths, dependent origination, etc., are the soil of this understanding, or the field of this understanding. And the first two purifications, namely purification of virtue and purification of consciousness, are its roots. So they are called root purification. And then the other five are called trunk purification or body purification. Now there are seven kinds of purification with regard to the practice of vipassana meditation. So the first is called purification of virtue. Actually, it is not yet vipassana, but preparing for vipassana. And then the second is purification of consciousness or purification of mind. That means concentration. And then what? Purification of view. Next, purification by overcoming doubt. Next, purification by knowledge and vision of what is the path and what is not the path. Then, purification by knowledge and vision of the way. Next, purification by knowledge and vision. So these are the seven stages of purity with regard to the practice of vipassana meditation. And this book from chapter, let me see, chapter 18 will describe these purifications one by one. That means purification of view and so on. Because purification of virtue and purification of consciousness are already described. Now we come to the aggregates, the five aggregates. So you're all familiar with these five aggregates, right?
The five skandhas.
Yeah, the five skandhas. And the first one is rupa, aggregate of corporeality or aggregate of matter. And the second is feeling, aggregate of feeling. The third, aggregate of perception. Fourth, aggregate of mental formations. And the fifth, aggregate of consciousness. But in this chapter, they are described not in this order. So first, aggregate of rupa, and then aggregate of consciousness, and then aggregate of feeling and so on. So the first one is the aggregate of rupa. Now rupa is defined as in paragraph 34, say that have the characteristic of being molested by cold, etc. But in Burma we understand this word as meaning to change. So anything that changes because of cold, heat, hunger, thirst, bite of insects, and so on, is called rupa. Because because it has the characteristic of rupana, it is called rupa. So rupana means to change. When it is cool, you have one kind of material properties, and then when it is hot, there's another kind of material property, and so on. And change here means not that something changes into some other thing, but the arising of a different continuity of matter is called change. Because according to Abhidhamma, they last for only a few moments, right? Only 17 thought moments. And after that, they disappear. So change here means arising of a different kind of material property due to heat, cold, etc. So that is what we call change. And broadly, there are two kinds of matter: primary entity and derived material properties. And derived does not mean descended from, but it means depending. I would use the word depend rather than derive. So depending ones, the primary ones and depending ones. Now, we need a house to live. So the house is what we depend upon. So in the same way, the 24 material properties to be mentioned later depend upon the four primary elements for their arising and for their existence. They are not derived from these four, but they depend upon these four for their existence. So for our survival, we depend upon the buildings, on houses. So we are not produced by houses, but we depend upon the houses to live in, say to get shelter and protection. So in the same way, the 24 material properties are not derived from the four, but they depend upon these four for their existence, for their arising. So that is why they are called in Pali upadaya. That means depending ones. And the primary materiality is of four kinds, and they are earth element, water element, fire element, and air element. And we have met with these four elements in chapter 6. And then depending materiality or derived materiality, they are 24 kinds. Now, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, visible datum, sound, odor, flavor, femininity faculty, masculinity faculty, life faculty, heart basis, bodily intimation, verbal intimation, space element, lightness of matter, malleability of matter, wildiness of matter, growth of matter, continuity of matter, aging of matter, impermanence or death of matter. And last, physical nutriment. So there are 24. 24 plus 4, we get 28. So in Abhidhamma, there are said to be 28 material properties. 4 are primary and 24 are those depending on them. Now, if you look at the list closely, say we have, you will notice there is eye, there is ear, nose, tongue, body. And corresponding to them, there should be 5, but there are only 4 here. Visible datum to the eye, sound to the ear, odor to the nose, flavor to the tongue, but to the body, nothing is mentioned here. And that is because what we call tangible datum is just the group of three primary elements: earth element, fire element, and air element. So these three, a combination of these three elements are what we call tangible data. So that is why it is not mentioned here. If it is mentioned, then we will get 25 instead of 24, and there will be confusion. But we are not to understand that there is no such thing as tangibility, because corresponding to the body sensitivity, there must be tangible objects. But we have body sensitivity here in, say, on my skin, and then when I touch something, then I have the feeling of that touch. I experience the feeling of that touch, that tangible object. So there is what we call a tangible object, but it is not different from the three primary elements mentioned above. That is why it is not mentioned here. So there are 24. And then these 24 are explained in detail. And their characteristic, function, mode of manifestation, and the proximate causes are all mentioned. And now, paragraph 37, last line. Its function is to pick up an object among visible data. Actually, it is not picking up, but the Pali word is avinchana, and that means to pull. So to pull the mind to the object. So to take the mind to the object, something like that. Not like picking up an object, but to pull, or maybe to push the mind to the object. And then it is manifested as the footing of eye consciousness. I think we should use basis for eye consciousness is better than footing for eye consciousness. That means eye consciousness cannot arise if there is no eye or no sensitivity in our bodies. So it is the basis for eye consciousness. Its proximate causes, primary elements born of karma, sourcing from desire to see. So we have some desire to see, and that desire makes the karma, and karma causes the elements. So the primary elements caused by karma is its proximate cause. And then ear, nose, and so on. And it is, ear, nose, tongue, it could be understood without much difficulty, and the body. Now, paragraph 42. Some, however, say, and so on. So there is a difference of opinion among teachers in the past, and here some means there are certain Mahasanghikas. Mahasanghikas are those who divided themselves from the original Sangha at the Second Buddhist Council. Before the Second Buddhist Council, there was a difference of opinion among monks about some practice of some Vinaya rules. And so they could not come to agreement. So they divided themselves away from the original Sangha, and they are called Mahasanghikas. So some of the Mahasanghikas held this view. And one of them is Vasuddhamma. Maybe, I don't know, but in Sanskrit, or in among the teachers of the Mahasanghikas, like there is a person called Vasubandhu. So it may be the same person, but
confusing.
There may have been several Vasubandhus, but the Vasubandhu usually talked about the power of greater than this time. Yeah. Right. So the name Vasuddhamma was given in the sub-commentary to the Visuddhimagga. And so this is the difference of opinion. Now let us go to paragraph 46. Even among Theravada Buddhists, there is a difference of opinion about whether the sensitivities take the object when they come into contact with them, or before the objects reach them. Now, the paragraph 46 explains this. Now, among these sensitivities thus possessed of difference due to different karma, the eye and the ear apprehend non-contiguous objective fields, since consciousness is caused even if the supporting primaries of the objective fields do not adhere to the faculties, own supporting primaries, and so on. Now, the meaning is this. Eye and ear take the object which has not reached them. Before the objects reach them, they take the object. That is what is meant here. It may or may not be correct, but the opinion of Buddha Gosa and later teachers is that the eye and ear take the objects which have not reached to them. So before the objects reach them, they take the object. Before they come into contact, physical contact with the sensitivities. The eye take the visible object. Visible object means just color. So before it really touches the eye, it takes the object. Because if you say that the eye sensitivity takes the object only when it touches it, then you cannot see, because the visible object will come and block your what you call passage of light. So the opinion of later commentators, including the Venerable Buddha Gosa, was that these two sensitivities take the object before the object actually reaches them. But the other three, nose, tongue, and body, takes the object only when they come into contact, or they become adhered to the sensitivity. That means, for example, smell. Unless it adheres to the nose, I mean sensitivity or nose, we don't experience smell. Smell may be some distance away from us, and if it does not come into contact with our nose, then we don't feel or we don't experience smell.
What is the difference between the eyes going up to meet the object and the object coming to meet the eyes? How would you know which was correct? What would be the test? Or what's the difference in understanding of one or the other?
There are arguments on both sides, and considering sound waves, then we may not agree with what Buddha Gosa says here, because only when sound waves strike against the eardrum do we hear sound, right? So it must come into physical contact with the ear sensitivity,
vibrations,
in order to hear. So we may side with later teachers like Buddha Gosa, or with former commentators, because Buddha Gosa is said to be a later or a new commentator. So before him, and there were older commentaries, and those older commentaries took eye and ear also to be taking objects which come into contact with them. So that is the difference of opinion. And if you have the 8 posita, I'll give you the page numbers of it. It is explained more fully there. So, exposita, page 410. And then the eye sensitivity is described here, and it says that looks like a blue lotus petal. Maybe during the time of the commentators, they think that the black thing in the eye is just a solid thing, not a window. The black thing is a window, right? It can become small or big when there is light. But what we gather from the writings of the commentators is that they take this to be a real thing. And so eye sensitivity is supposed to reside on that place. So it's surrounded by black eyelashes and veiled with dark and circles. And here it is found in the place in the middle of the black circle, surrounded by the white circle, in that feature of the eye with its accessories and so on. So, eye sensitivity resides on a place in the eye which is like a blue lotus petal. So, the black of the eye is compared to a blue lotus petal. And it is said that the eye sensitivity, many particles of eye sensitivity pervade that place. And then ear sensitivity. Ear sensitivity is resides in a place which is shaped like a finger stall. What is a finger stall? Is it a ring? In paragraph 49, third line. Ear hole with its accessories in the place that is shaped like a finger stall. That means a ring. So something like a ring in the inner ear. And then the nose is like a goat's hoof. Maybe, yeah, in the nose. And then the tongue is like a lotus petal tip. Tip of a lotus petal. And then body is a liquid that soaks a layer of cotton. The body sensitivity is found everywhere. So the whole of the body is pervaded by the body sensitivity, but excepting the nails and then the hair. In this physical body where there is matter, that is clung to. Now, I think the footnote is good, because the word upadena, it is vaguely renderable by organic or sentient or living matter, that is right. Technically, it is matter of the four primaries that is clung to or derived by karma, but not necessarily born of karma, but everything that is connected with living beings is called upadena in Pali. And so, something like organic or sentient is better. And then, these are compared to snakes, crocodiles, birds, dogs, and jackals. The eye is compared to a snake, the ear to crocodiles, the nose to birds, the tongue to dogs, and the body to jackals. And that gravitate to their own respective resorts. That is to say, anthills. The snakes live in anthills. Crocodiles live in water. Birds live in air or space. Dogs live in villages, and jackals live in charnel grounds. So eye is said to be like a snake. A snake likes to be in a place where there is many things. And so the eye also want to see different things. If the wall is nothing and that it is plain, then we don't want to see. So the eye want to see different things. say, intricate patterns or, say, painting, something like that. So the eye is compared to a snake. A snake also does not want to be in a place where there is nothing. It wants to be in the, what do you call, in the debris or something. So they are compared to these animals. And you can read in more detail in Exposita, page 411. And then we come to visible datum, that means visible object or color, and then sound, odor, flavor, femininity faculty, that means the female sex as its characteristic, its functionness to show that this is a female. It is manifested as the reason for the mark, sign, work, and ways of the female. Now, please read Exposita, page 419. So women have different marks, different signs, different work, different ways of doing things than men. So by looking at them, then we know that this is a woman and this is a man. So that peculiarity in a woman is called the femininity, and in a man is called masculinity. Sometimes we may see someone in a silhouette, but we know that it is a man or it is a woman. Or sometimes we know that it is a man or a woman by looking how they walk. Or they, sometimes we know by how when they are children, how they play and so on. So boys would play, they're fighting with each other, and the girls would play cooking or something like that. So femininity and masculinity. And these two also are coextensive with the whole body. That means masculinity and femininity resides in the whole of the body, not in some parts of the body, but the whole of the body. But it does not follow that they have to be called either located in the space where body sensitivity is located or located in the space where that is not located. Now, body sensitivity pervades the whole body also. So, the femininity or masculinity pervades the whole body also. But it does not follow that they have to be called either located in the space where body sensitivity is located. Because when there is body sensitivity, then we cannot say that at the same place there is femininity or masculinity.
I heard once that the first thing we notice about somebody is their sex. If they are a man or a woman, that's the first thing you notice. That's what you're saying, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. Sometimes we may not see a person, but we hear him or her talk, and then we know this is a woman, this is a man. Yeah. So they are all marked or sign or something of feminine sex or masculine sex. So the femininity or masculinity resides or exists in the whole of the body. Then what next? Life faculty. And this is Jivita in Pali. And in this paragraph, instead of occur, we should say exist. Because its function is to make them occur, not to make them occur, but to make them continue to exist, actually. They occur by some other causes. And after they arise, then this life faculty maintains them or protects them. So its characteristic is not to make them occur, but to make them continue to exist, although it may be a very short moment. So instead of occur, I think we should use exist or present. And then about the middle of the paragraph, the sentence beginning with "and it occurs." And it occurs itself only through its connection with the states that occur, like a pilot. Now, here also, it exists only through its connection with the states that it maintains. Now, it is said that life faculty maintains the cognizant material properties. So life faculty is the one that maintains them, that keeps them from, say, that keeps them from dissolving or something like that. Now, if life faculty maintains others, then who maintains life faculty? That is the problem here. If you are protector of others, who is the protector of you? Who protects you? So the answer is, it protects itself. So in protecting others, it protects itself too, like a boatman. See, when a boatman takes you to the other shore, he takes himself too. so that is the point here. But it is not so clear reading this sentence. So the meaning here is just this. If life faculty protects others, who protects? What protects it? So it protects itself. So like a pilot means here like a man who rows the boat, the boatman. And it is important to understand this correctly. And it does not cause occurrence after dissolution because of its own absence and that of what has to be made to occur. It does not prolong presence at the moment of dissolution. There are three moments, right? Yeah. Arising, continuation, and dissolution. So at the moment of dissolution, it cannot protect because it is in the state of dissolving itself, dissolution itself. And like the flame of a lamp when the wick and the oil are getting distant. But it must not be regarded as destitute of power to maintain, make occur, or make exist and make present, because it does accomplish each of these functions. And then we come to the heart base. I've talked about heart base many times. So I think you understand about the heart base. Now, there is a discussion of heart base in the footnote. On page 497. So, as I think I told you about heart base. So, in brief, heart base is not mentioned in the first book of Abhidhamma. It is even in the last book of Abhidhamma in Patthana, it is not mentioned by name. Buddha said just, depending on a certain material property, mind element and mind consciousness element arise, something like that. But that certain material property is interpreted to mean the heart base. And the question of how that is to be known. How do you know that it is a heart base? And so they give two lines of arguments. One is from scriptures and the other is from logical reasoning. Logical reasoning means just by the method of elimination. So Buddha said there is a certain material property which is the basis of, say, mind element and mind consciousness element. Now, that basis cannot be the eye, cannot be the ear, and so on. So, by eliminating one after the other, you arrive at something remaining, and that is the heart base. So, when the commentator says, that is a heart base, it is somewhat arbitrary. So, two arguments are given, two proofs. One is from the scriptures. And from the scriptures also, as I said, nowhere in Abhidhamma Pitaka is the heartbeat mentioned by name by the Buddha. But they said Buddha did not mention heartbeat in the first book of Abhidhamma because Buddha had to conform to a certain way of preaching, certain way of teaching, or unity of his method of teaching. So in order not to break the unity of teaching, Buddha left the heart base out when he described the material properties. That is the argument in brief. And the second one is just by the method of elimination. So last, all the commentators arrive at saying that heart base is what is meant by the Buddha. So please read the... It may be a little difficult, but I think you can understand.
You're talking about that footnote.
Yes. Footnote on page... footnote number 26. Okay. So next week, about 20 pages. Or up to the end of the consciousness aggregate. It's all up to page 518.